all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, ZIP 6. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Commenting this call, and if you purposely break the mouse, it will not be covered by warranty.
Oh, well, you're going to have to prove that, okay?
It's in your warranty agreement, sir. We do
not
replace for misuse and abuse.
There is no misuse and abuse.
Reply to this message, press
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Binary Revolution Radio, where the customer is always right. I am joined this week by the infamous one himself, the one and only Dual Parallel.
What's up, Stank?
What's up, Mr. Parallel?
Been a long time.
How's Mrs. Parallel?
She's doing well.
Doing well.
It's hot.
First time we've had you on the show. You've been unplugged for quite a while. I think that's been going pretty well for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it.
I bet you are.
I get to screw around with a lot of stuff. I get to write for a little while, and I do this, I do that. It's really nice.
Very cool. We're going to plug you back in for an hour or so. How's that?
Sounds bueno.
Bueno?
Bueno.
All right. Well, what you just heard on the opening, what the listeners just heard, was a tech support call from Dell Computers. Never been heard before. That's an exclusive from Binary Revolution Radio there. Submitted by a friend of the show who we can't really talk about because we don't want to get anybody in trouble because they're on the inside of the system. So I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was pretty funny. And also, let's see, in the housekeeping, remind everybody that there are 2,600 meetings coming this Friday. Are you going to be able to make yours this Friday?
No, I will not.
No.
Next month, though, for sure.
Next month. All right. Yeah, I think I'll hopefully make mine this Friday if I can.
I'm jealous. Man, if you can go. I mean, I wish I could go every month.
Yeah, I have to factor in the cost of what else I could be working on because I have such a small amount of free time. But anyway, I'm not going there. It's just cool to hang out. Even if it's just hanging out and talking with people, talking tech and talking geek, that to me is worth it. It's just fun to go do, you know?
Amen.
So...
praise the Lord.
So if you have, hey, listeners that go or have go regularly, that's great. If you're a listener who's never gone before, go check it out. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back. But go check it out once. Go check it out this Friday. Make that your Cinco de Mayo. What day does that fall on this? What's Friday the 7th?
Falls on the 5th.
No, it doesn't. It's on the 7th. But Friday the 7th.
Cinco de Mayo falls on the 5th.
Oh, I know. I was saying it might be funny if it falled on the 5th.
Oh, if that was, yes. No, it's Friday the 7th.
Yeah. Oh, well, close enough.
Cinco is 5.
Siete de Mayo. Right? Siete de Mayo. Is that right?
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, shit.
What's that? That's cool.
That would be the monkey cat jumping onto the computer next to me.
Dude, awesome!
You stupid cat. Oh.
What'd he do? What'd he screw up?
Oh, he jumped on the keyboard. I don't know. It's a headless machine, so I don't know what the hell happened. Dude, when the show's over with... Oh, man, this is bad radio. I'm sorry. All right, back to the show.
Bitch, and see what happens.
Oh, I'm not going to connect to that right now. I don't want to...
I'm Rick James, bitch! That's Bland, by the way.
Yeah, Bland. We'll put him. We got a shout out to Bland. The show.
Speaking of S, go ahead.
All right. Are you like? Yeah. Let's jump back in here. Sorry, the monkey cat just screwed the whole thing up.
Recording, right?
Yeah, we're recording. The show's going.
I'm
not stopping it. I'm not editing it out.
That's a sign, dude. I'm on the show. That happens, dude.
What does the sign mean?
Well, I don't know. I just.
Oh, okay. It's just a sign. Okay. Like you scare the hell out of cats? Is that what the sign is?
I scare pussy.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a good outtake, except it's not an outtake. It's staying in the show. All right. Anyway, let's jump into some email. We have a lot of serious topics coming up. We're joking now. Let's go through some email, some good stuff. Do a quick what's happening kind of section, and then jump into some serious topics, because you and I both have some serious topics we want to talk about. So I want to make sure we give them the time that they so richly deserve. So, first email I got is from Neg Output, which I think that's a cool name, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And he says, "Hey, Stank, thanks for my email readout on the air. Last week we read his email. I will try to..." He's the wildest guy. The wildest.
I'm just wild. That's a cool word, man. Props to him for knowing the language.
Yeah, right? Okay, he says, "I will try to scan a copy of the Cave Clan Drain magazine for all to check out, and I will definitely see if I can make some great video of an exploration with a cool twist, like popping up a manhole cover in the middle of the main street of Central Sydney." Dude, how cool would that be?
Very cool.
That's a cool idea. I'll be your hookup for the show's grammar.
See? Awesome. That's good stuff right there. I'm all about that. I just heard a piece on NPR, and they were speaking to some woman about punctuation. And she was going on about, you know, colons and semicolons and apostrophes, and I dug that. That's okay. That was weird.
Yeah, that was.
I thought it was cool. So props to this guy.
You know what? If I'm writing something formal, I'm all about it too. I'm very careful. But man,
okay, good.
This is where you and I differ. Like in IMs, I couldn't care less. I don't correct myself in an instant message.
Well, me neither. Not anymore. I've had to train myself to, you know, not capitalize.
Oh, okay. See, I thought you used to give me some hell about.
I did, because I used to do it too, but now I'm just all, you know.
Yeah, whatever. As long as the point gets across. Anyway, he says, "I log myself into your forum, so I hope to chat to you all sometime." Again, that was from Neg Output. Thank you again for the email. Welcome to the forums. There's a little drama going on right now. Just ignore that. Pretend it's not happening. Just go on with life. There's a lot of good content, a lot of good stuff out there, and I'm sure you will enjoy. I hope you'll enjoy. I can't wait to see the video. I think that sounds really cool. So as soon as you can send that to us or upload it or just email me, we'll work something out to get it uploaded. And the grammar thing, like we just said, I don't know if you realize what you're in for here.
Yeah.
We can get
good. Oh, that's what we don't need him. We speak good.
Yeah, we speak darn good. We speak well. See, I corrected it. I did it the right way. Me am speaking good English. All righty. Anyway, yeah, you got your work cut out for on the grammar part. Another email from Alpha Omega 13, who state, and this one's a little longer. "Hey, Stank Dog, I have been listening to your show now for almost 6 months. Great job. I have enjoyed every episode. Props to you and all of the hackers that listen and contribute to you and your show. Also props to those who know how to RTFM, which of course is read the freaking manual. The reason for the email is to type an obscure passage in a book that I am reading. The book is Hacker's Delight by Henry S. Warren, Jr., written in 2003. The passage is on page 14, XIV, which is in the introduction, actually, I believe, middle paragraph, and it states, and I quote, "Finally, I should mention that the term hacker in the title is meant in the original sense of an aficionado of computers, someone who enjoys making computers do new things or do old things in a new and clever way. The hacker is usually quite good at his craft, but may very well not be a professional computer programmer or designer. The hacker's work may be useful or just be a game. As an example of the latter, more than one hacker has written a program which, when executed, writes out an exact copy of itself. This is the sense that we use the term hacker." There's also a little example program here that I can't quite read in the air, won't interpret well, but he goes on to say, "I don't think that hacker could have been defined better. One more topic. It is about Hack TV. Good job. I liked Hack TV. It was very informational, with the exception of the cold air induction system on your car. I thought that it was kind of lame. That is just my opinion, but I think that your listeners and now watchers would appreciate just sticking to the war driving and things of that nature. If we wanted to know about your car, then maybe have a show called Hacked Gearheads or something to that degree. Suggestion, the comments that you cannot finish due to legal implications or whatever, why not animate them in Flash or Swish? Then maybe you could finish them. You cannot arrest a digital cartoon. This is all purely suggestions and opinions. I am probably one of your most loyal listeners and watchers. Good job on everything that you have done to date. Keep up the excellent work. Okay, first of all, thank you very much for this email. I like someone pointing out and being honest without being insulting and personal in their attacks.
Making suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. And that I appreciate, I respect, and I'll listen to. And quite frankly, I do have, first of all, the Flash animation, I like that idea. I do think that's cool. I don't know that that's going to necessarily cover us on the legal edge of things, but I think it might just be an interesting twist, something to do differently. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to cover us legally on everything, but on some things it might. On some things it might. So anyway, it is still a good suggestion, and I think it might just make things more interesting from an artistic standpoint, if nothing else.
Pisses a lot of people off. Think about the audience. Consider the audience. They don't like Flash already, like on the interweb. So.
Yeah, but this is going to be embedded in the video.
I know. Why don't you want to flash your video? I want to do live action, baby.
Well, we'll see how it works out. If there's a chance to use it, I mean, I didn't even have it in my mind to consider before, and now I do. So I just as another option, I think
very
it's
good.
A good
it's a very good idea.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know the first thing about Flash. I have no artistic talent. We've talked about that before. I can draw stick figures with penises. I'm pretty good at that. That's about it.
Dude.
That's all my artistic artwork, man. That's all I can do. Let's see. Oh, the main thing here was that passage from the book. That's actually pretty accurate and something, and it's good that you're on here because you and I say this a lot. I know Rax agrees and says this a lot. No one really gets the true definition of a hacker, and one reason because of that is because there is no one plain textbook definition of a hacker, really. You know,
I think Alpha's correct. He did find probably one of the best definitions of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's about the mindset. It's about the mindset and try to figure out what the way the person's thinking and being able to think that way, to me, that kind of makes a hacker. And I know that's not a good textbook definition to memorize in a class or something like that.
Well, if hackers weren't so OCD and anal, they wouldn't be talking about the definitions all the time. So.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit on the I'm a little bit OCD, though, so what can I tell you?
There you go.
But, yeah, in this particular case, I'm not because, you know, I said it before, you can't trying to define a hacker. How did I say one time? I was, like, trying to... I don't remember. Something
like
about it.
Trying to catch the wind.
Trying to grab a handful of water, I think that's what I said. I don't know. Something corny like that. People try to define hackers based on actions and applications of programs, and somebody writes a cool program and it's used to create a virus. Somehow they use that to define the hacker instead of the intent and the mindset of coming up with such a cool app, a cool program or something. If it's applied some other way, that's like afterwards. That's trying to define something afterwards, and it's not quite the same. But, yeah, exactly what he said, trying to make something work better, more efficiently than it did before, doing it in a new way that's never been thought of. Those are the things that really show the mindset of a hacker. You know?
I agree.
So programming is a big part of that, obviously. The books, have you heard of this book before? I've heard the name before.
Hacker's Delight, isn't that, it's like all about tight code and real creative, elegant kind of stuff. I think I have heard of it.
Right. It's not all that obscure. It's just not your stereotypical, you know, when you go to the bookstore and you see all the hacking books, it's always how to hack-proof your network and hacking Linux and hacking blah. It's not one of those stereotypical hacking books. It's a programming book.
Yeah.
Showing some neat tricks and hacks. So it is actually got some, you know, some good reviews, and it's fairly well known. But, I'm kind of motivated to go look for that myself now. I might go check that out.
Oh, I bet that's a good book.
Yeah. Now, as far as the car hacking segment, to get to the actual descriptions here, some people liked it, some didn't. And, of course, that's going to happen with all of them. You know, that's just going to happen with everything. But I'll tell you this. I will not... See, we say that, again, there's something else we say on the show all the time, and maybe you'll back me up on this, I don't know, is that hacking isn't just computers. You know, we have... Even just within... I mean, freakers are considered hackers, but they're dealing with the phone system. So there's different types of hacking and different things that are on the fringe and on the borderline. And, you know, I kind of think modifying and changing your car from its default to something different is, and other people might not. However, I do realize that it kind of gets a little mechanical and might not be interesting to everyone. So I'm going to have one more segment on there that's probably a little bit more appropriate based on a couple people's ideas of not liking the car. It's going to be a little bit more technical, less mechanical in nature, and it's I don't want to go into too much detail on exactly what it is. I'll leave it a surprise, but it'll be a lot more technical as it relates to the car, as the computer and stuff like that relates to the car. So maybe that'll be a little bit more appropriate, but we'll try one more segment, see how that goes. But also, you know, we are still going to focus mostly on the computer stuff, but there is going to be freaking. There's going to be urban exploration. There's going to be hardware stuff of all different types. I think if we did a 30-minute war driving every time, it's going to get pretty stale and pretty old fast. So I want to mix it all up quite a bit. So that's what I'm trying to do.
I enjoyed it. I agree with you that we shouldn't pigeonhole hacking to just computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, segment every week on cars, yeah, it might be a bit much.
Right. But it was in the first one, so I guess people are scared that there will be one every single episode, and that's not the case. Let me assure you, don't worry.
Yeah.
There might be one scattered here and there, and there will be one in the next episode. We've already started. But it will be, like I said, tech-related. But no, it's not going to be like that every time. We want it to be spontaneous and different, so...
Well, I'm glad he wrote in and saying that he didn't like it. That's good.
Well, and it's productive. That's productive criticism, not...
Absolutely. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, a couple of quick emails.
Enlightened.
I'm sorry?
He is enlightened.
Yes. A couple of quick emails. These are kind of follow-ups to the back-to-back episodes with Rax. We talked about some mail issues. And even last week with Dakota.
M-A-L-E?
M-A-I-L. Thank you very much. Although I have a great... I might have to put this in episode 50. I made a call to... never mind. We'll talk about that later. Speaking of M-A-L-E. We got an email from Pig Monkey, which I think is going to... I love that name.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool original name. Pig Monkey, that's great. That's good stuff. He just drops a quick note. He says, Rax mentioned Hush Mail in episode 42. Here's a similar project, Crypto Mail. It's at cryptomail.org. That's... CryptoMail.org. I still think everybody should just get a GPG/PGP key. Say that fast. The world would be a much happier place, but that's never going to happen. So, yeah, I wish that happened. Well, you're right. Reality is it's not going to happen, but thanks for the suggestion. CryptoMail.org, for those of you who want to try a couple different webmail clients, there's another one for you to check out.
Well, but before you leave
Monkey's
email, I have to thank Pig Monkey. He sent some great dirt about PWF, which may come up later in the show. So thank you very much to him. And he's right. Everybody should get a GPG key. Everybody should use encryption. Actually, you can go to Old School Freak and get mine. And actually, Bland lost his secret key, so I'm taking his public key down as we speak. So, yeah, please use encryption if you can, if you want. Because you should.
Yeah, and I can't say anything about Bland because I'm in the same boat. I end up having to remake a new key and start over so many times that.
Well, I don't know what happened, but now he's got hooked up with the USB key drive. If you don't have one, go get one, even one of the small ones, and stick your keys on there.
Yeah.
It's just the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent suggestion. Plus, they're handy in so many other ways.
Amen to that.
As a matter of fact, I'll throw in a little tip since you brought it up. Distributed.net client, baby.
Put it on a key?
Unzipped, configured with the INI file with your email already in it, so that all you got to do, plug it in, drag the files over, and unplug, and it's on the system running, configured, ready to go.
Oh, no kidding. That's pretty slick.
Yep. Good stuff.
Nice.
In, out, 30 seconds, you're done, man, and you own the system. You got it plugging away. Theoretically, of course.
Absolutely.
Kiosk. Excuse me. Operation Kissock Freedom. You never did fix that, you know. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No. Said in and out 30 seconds. I thought, never mind.
Yeah, my Operation Kiosk Freedom, the pictures I took from my cell phone, my camera phone.
Yeah?
You misspelled it on the title of the page. It says Operation Kissock Freedom.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You go verify that while I go on to the next email.
Now, see, I need that kind of stuff.
I told you once before, and I'm sure it was like in passing.
Fuck, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm sure it was in passing.
Okay, keep going.
Another email along the same lines from Dell, D-E-L, one L, not Dell Computers, says, hey, I was listening to someone who emailed you and said that yahoo.co.uk gives 6 megabyte email accounts. I just emailed to point out that yahoo.ca, which is Canada, I believe, also gives 6 megabyte accounts. The address is even shorter than yahoo.com, and there is more space. Well, yeah, one letter shorter than .com, I guess, if that's a bonus. But it is still a good tip nonetheless. 6 megabyte email is more than they give you at Yahoo, apparently, from what we've been able to establish. So, yeah, I think that was Decoder who gave us that tip last time about the UK. And CA, also another great alternative, great idea, and it's in English. So, good suggestions.
Did you hear that tone? You dropped, and I heard a tone, and it wasn't the caller ID. It was like a very short DTMF. Did you hear that?
I did not hear anything, no.
You dropped on my end, and there was it sounded like a very, very short DTMF. Anyway, sorry about that.
That is strange, because I didn't hear a thing, and I don't have any kind of, you know my broke ass. I don't have any features or anything on this
phone.
Right.
I know the call because I haven't heard anything. You know, you hear the
right
tones. But
well, if we've got a Fed on the line, feel free to chime in anytime if you have some suggestions or something.
It's weird. It's very, again, another sign.
And do 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 do.
Okay,
right.
So kiosk freedom is fixed.
Okay, kind of getting used to kiosk freedom now.
Yeah, and I removed Bland's public key. Hopefully, he'll send another shortly.
All right, so killing two birds with one stone here, man.
Right.
All right, then our last email, which is great segue, you mentioned it early, and this will segue into you, is I got an email from Alpha Flood.
That's a freaking cool handle right there.
That is pretty cool. I like that, too. He says, hello, I live, well, should I mention where he lives?
No,
okay. We'll pass on that. I live in XXXX, and I have a list of my local Walmart payphone numbers. The numbers are, and again, I won't read those now, but he says, hope that helps out with the project. I was also wondering if you knew of any freaks in my area. It would be great to communicate with another freak, as my cousin and myself are the only freaks in town. Thanks a bunch.
Oh, well, you go to freaklist.cjb.net. Is it net?
I think it's cjb.net. I'm not positive.
Freaklist.cjb.net. Not found. I swear that was it. Somebody had a list just for that reason, just to, you know, to put freaks together. But go to Freaks and Geeks Forum. You'll hook up with somebody.
Exactly. Freaksandgeeks.com or the Freaks and Geeks Forum, of course, which is linked from there.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a really long thread of people out there sharing their MPA, you know, finding out that you think you're the only two freaks in town, but there's probably more.
Yeah,
it's just a matter
of
hooking up with them. So.
Hey,
maybe the 2600 meeting. Hey, if you got one or if you can find one nearby, maybe that's the way to go.
Well, thank you for the payphone numbers. Thank you very much. I've actually, again, Pig Monkey sent in some good dirt, man. We've been looking into the RFID more and more. It's hard to get real concrete stuff, but, you know, sometimes you get that good insider piece of info, and we've got that. So, and also, somebody else sent in some numbers, and thank you to them as well. I forgot their handle. But I don't know if they sent numbers or payphone numbers or just the numbers to the stores. We don't need numbers to the stores. You can get that on, you know, from your phone book. They're listed. You can get it on their website. We want the payphone numbers, things that you can't just... And, yeah, what can you do with them? I don't know. You can call up and have fun with people there. There's usually some very unique people shopping in Walmart that actually answer the phones, and it's actually rather fun. So that's one thing you can do. And otherwise, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's a show of power, you know. It's a show of, not power, but, you know, I don't know. It's a demonstration that, you know, yeah, you're this $250 billion company, you know.
You know what? I just had a little brainstorm. I just had an idea.
Right.
We've already got plans and ideas for episode 50, but I'm thinking maybe ahead a future special episode of all. We'll call it the Project Walmart Freedom episode, calling the payphones and seeing what kind of interesting people and conversations we can have, and have them as special guest hosts on the show for a few minutes.
That's going to be a lot of episode 79, or is it 79, 77, 76? What is it? There's Celebrated Freak America that's missing. We were going to do that for
the hidden episode. All right, well,
it's number 76, the lost episode.
Oh,
we're going to do a lot of phone calls, and it's going to probably be a lot of PWF numbers.
I didn't mean to ruin the... Damn it, now I just let the cat out of the bag.
That's okay. It might be a lot of other stuff, but that, okay. Those are usually really, really juicy payphone numbers.
Yeah, that's
if
good
you want
stuff.
Them to pay off. But so what it is, yeah, you're right. So what can you do with that big-ass list? Well, you know, maybe nothing, but it's more than just a list of numbers. It's hackers. It's people who love technology, people who care about what corporations are doing to their communities, banding together, right? We're talking about all over the North American continent, all over the U.S., Canada, people who go to South America and get numbers there, for crying out loud, and showing that, hey, man, you're just another corporation. You're just another business. You do not have more power than me, than my community. We can tell you, no, we don't want you here. And that's what that's supposed to mean. And I'm probably making no sense, and people probably don't see it, but that's kind of what it is.
A little overly dramatic.
Yeah, well, you know, we, you know what, can I break in here?
By all means, I know how much you're dying to...
Okay, no, that's not, no, man, it's your show, let's show...
No.
But...
You hate Walmart, we got it.
No, it's not what I'm bringing up at all.
Oh, okay.
Not what I'm bringing up at all.
Okay, go.
You said there's much drama, right? There's much drama in the community, blah, blah.
Well, I'm just joking with you, of course.
I know, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, there kind of is. And you know what? It seems to me, and I've kind of just, you know, stayed back and enjoying everything that everybody's doing, you know, having a good time. And there are people that are into drama, and they, you know, type a lot of things. And, well, let's just not lose our focus, right? Let's have a purpose. And first and foremost, learning and sharing. And also possibly to use our love for technology and what we've learned about technology, and even if it is just collecting massive amounts of a certain type of probably useless information, into a purpose, focusing that into a purpose.
Yeah.
And it may be showing corporations that, well, you know, you are just an entity that does not have the power that even one citizen does, right? And here's why. Because I can band citizens together all over the world and collect these payphones. And it's, I know it's small and symbolic, and I'm probably an idiot, but whatever. We need to make sure as a community we do not lose focus, that we care more about what we're doing, about learning and sharing and using what we know about technology to affect a positive end to some type of crusade, and then make sure we continue to do it.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, we use the word community a lot because we believe in it.
Right.
You know, and I do believe the majority of the community does get it and does do positive things.
Yes.
And tries to do positive things anyway. And I think it's just, you know, there's those few bad apples that are louder and more vocal, I guess.
Yeah, you know what? You know what I said to those motherfuckers? Publish, bitch.
Yeah, right.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Right. Because guess what? Guess what's respected in our community? Guess what's respected in academia? Guess what's respected in the corporate world? Publishing. Right? Shut up and write. That's what
I got to say. And write articles, write code, write information, write worthwhile posts and forums, as small as that can be. Write film clips, do your own radio shows. There's so many positive things.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, for the most part, I think I'm pretty proud I've stayed out of a lot of this stuff. I occasionally pop in there to try to set things straight, but for the most part, I'm like, you know what? I have better things to do. There's only so many hours in the day, and I like to try to stay as positive as possible and as progressive and get things accomplished, and crying doesn't really accomplish a whole lot.
Nope.
You know, whining doesn't really get much done.
Anyway. See, I didn't freaking rant about Walmart.
Well, no.
Something no. I thought that...
That was beautiful, Mike.
I wanted to say.
I love you, Mike. Well, as long as we're... That's a good segue. We're into the show and tell here, the personal hacking. Anything you wanted to talk about recently? I actually... I don't want to put you into a what to talk about, but do you want to talk about HPR?
Hacker Public Radio. Yeah. You said they're
well, only because I'm just concerned. I've seen some posts and some people wondering and asking about it. I thought maybe you could just kind of set it straight as far as A, what it is, when it is, not as far as a specific time frame, but, you know, like, let people know what to expect, because I'm not sure that people realize your vision for it and what you are thinking of doing with it. And frankly, I want to make sure I'm, you know, down with it, because I think it's very cool what you're going with. I just thought maybe it'd be a good opportunity to clarify it.
Okay, I will tell everyone what it's going to be. I will tell everyone the status, and then I will go ahead and give a few of the possible show topics, which I was going to, you know, keep in my back pocket. So first, the show, HPR Hacker Public Radio, will be more, it will not be a weekly show. It will be whenever we get around to making a show, it will be a good one. It will be more like a well-written piece you would hear on NPR and public radio. It will focus on one topic. There will be no time limit, and hopefully it will be of higher audio quality, and again also of better written. The quality of the show itself. All right, let me put it this way: we could take the show notes to the show or a transcript of the show, and it would make an excellent article.
Yeah, actually, that would be very cool. That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to put that. So there's what the show is. And again, it's not weekly. It's just whenever. Here's the status. Everything's set up. Well, I shouldn't say that. Nothing's set up. No. I've got the computer set up, right? The boxes. They're set up to do the show. Now I'm looking into audio hardware. I have a card. I bought a card and a sound card, and it's just really bad. It's a Philips, and it's just, I'm really, really displeased. So I thought it would have been a good, high quality audio card, but it's not. So I need hardware. I need a good sound card. I need a board, mics, things like that. So it's a little slow because of basically, well, money. So, but that will come. Money's not an issue. That's basically the status of the show. Once we get the hardware together and make sure that everything works well, then we'll start recording. Here are some topics, and I was holding them close, but I figured might as well bring them out now. Here are some things that we're talking about, and hopefully will come to fruition. First, and we're hoping this will be a great first episode, and I'm sure it will. International Freaking, featuring Briscativo. So that's, you know, I haven't talked to him in a while because, well, we haven't been ready to do the show. But when I talked to him quite some time ago, he seemed interested, so hopefully we can still do that. Next, we're looking at a hardware hacking show with Logic. Logic is big time into hardware hacking.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, so that's another episode. Also, I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Guess who's here? That's right, the CEO, President, Chief Architect of Gentoo Linux, Daniel Robbins. He lives here, so I don't think it'd be too hard for me to track him down and get an interview.
Yeah, see, that's the other cool thing I'm glad you pointed out, and that is the fact that you're going to have the topics, but you're also going to have people who are very close and have experience and can speak very, very intelligently in a roundtable discussion, question and answer about those specific topics.
Exactly, because
that's what makes it special.
Right, we're talking experts here. I mean, that's people want to hear experts, and I'm an expert in no field. So these people are. So those are a few topics, and we're looking at other topics as well. We got Nerdcore as a topic. That would be a fun episode, you know.
Right.
Not that the others wouldn't be fun, but that would really, you know, that would really be focusing on.
Right. I mean, when you say fun, you mean a little bit more lighthearted topic.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Sure.
Thank you. So that's HPR, and that's the status. So.
Very, very cool. So just to reiterate, that's, well, not to be blunt, but frankly, whenever you get around to it, whenever you get time, and
exactly,
whenever
and
you
I'm,
get the
and
guests
I'll be
on
honest,
it.
I'm taking my sweet ass time. I'm having fun. I've done so many things since, you know, writing. I got married. I got a Gentoo box running, which I love. So Jedi Bebop and Bland were right. So
you went from,
everybody was right. They were right. You guys were right.
You went from getting married to set up a Gentoo box.
You got to have priorities.
You snuck that in there, did you?
Number one and number two. Yeah. So thanks for letting me talk. Bland came down and we hung out for a weekend. That was awesome. That was very cool.
Yeah, too bad. That would have been good if we could have all got together for a show or something while he was there. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
That was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I swear I had some other things to talk about for this show and tell, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, actually, in one of the upcoming topics, you got a lot to talk about, the interview that you've done recently, so...
Yeah, we've got, and it's we're halfway into the show,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, we got like 20-something, we got about 20 minutes left, and we can go over, of course, but... I won't waste time. I've actually been kind of unplugged myself a little bit, doing some real-life stuff. I had to do a little Microsoft Access, I won't say hacking, I had to give myself a little bit of a crash course and Microsoft Access for a job interview. I went to this interview, and they gave me a test on databases, and of course I smoked that. That's not a problem. But they asked me if I had any experience with Microsoft Access and, SQL Server. Hell no! I didn't touch that crap, you know? Ask me about something, you know? But anyway, came back and gave myself a crash course in that, because I really didn't know much about it, didn't know how hard or how difficult it was going to be not knowing it. So, kind of sat down and, geez, it wasn't but a few hours, and I feel like I pretty well know it inside and out because, frankly, it wasn't a whole lot to it.
Right.
It wasn't really. It was real easy to learn. I don't know if this is a review, kind of a mini review, I guess, if anybody cares. But and by all means, people correct me if you think I'm belittling it or you think differently about it. But it was really easy to sit down and use and figure out. I mean, it's very very intuitive, I guess, as far as whipping out quick queries, pulling out some quick data from tables that have already established, stuff like that, due to its, you know, the GUI, the graphical interface of it. It made it really quick and easy to write small databases, but I found that it wasn't very flexible. It didn't allow me to do any kind of advanced queries whatsoever. If you want to pull from a couple tables with similar keys, everything was fine, no problem there. But when you still want to start reading and building foreign keys to read extra tables or building keys on the fly and doing some, you know, multiple joins and subqueries and stuff like that, it really, really, really was not, it really became user unfriendly very fast.
Really?
Very, very fast. If you're doing small, quick things, it's great. No problem. As a matter of fact, I'll even say thumbs up. It was good if you're doing simple database stuff. It's good for that. And I'm sure there are people who are going to say it's good for the more advanced stuff, too, that I need more practice or whatever. But it's just... Actually, I guess the best word is cumbersome. It becomes so very cumbersome to do it through the GUI. And I'm more of a command line guy, you know, anyway. So they do have... You can go to the SQL view, and you can go in and write raw SQL code. And it'll convert it back to GUI and back to, you know... Well, it's not really converting it, but you know what I mean. You can go in and work straight on the SQL code itself, but they use their own proprietary SQL format. Now, that's not really all that unusual, but I found that it didn't even support some simple standard SQL commands that I was trying to do, some group by functions I had problems with and stuff like that. It didn't understand them. And the way it did joins, it was automatically trying to determine when to use an inner join and an outer join, and when I tried to override them in the code itself, which in ways that I knew logically would work, it was choking and giving me error messages. It wouldn't do it. It was so hard to go in and actually go to the code in the command line and change the SQL itself. Command line meaning the text editor. There's no command line, of course. It was so hard to do that I found myself forced to go back to the GUI and try to force the GUI to do what I wanted to do because I could not do it by typing in the direct SQL. So that was kind of a pain. That's probably something that, yes, I would get better with at practice. You can't learn that in a couple hours, I guess, since it is a proprietary version of SQL. So, you know, basically, short, easy queries, it's a pretty good tool, pretty easy. If you've already got it installed, I definitely wouldn't go out and pay the big money that it costs for it. Definitely would not endorse that. But if you've got Microsoft Office Professional or something that has that already in there, yeah, by all means, use it to pull out some quick information. I thought it was pretty good for that. Just don't expect miracles, that's for sure.
I tell you what, that was actually a fairly in-depth review.
Well, I don't know about all that.
The
funny thing is, I didn't, I was asked to if I knew anything about it, and what I told him is, here's a polite way to answer, and here's a little social engineering advice. Interviews, first of all, are a great place to practice and brush up on your social engineering skills.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. Okay, good.
So during this, when they ask you a question, you're not gonna, I was joking. I did not come out and go, no, I don't know, you know, Microsoft. I hate Microsoft. You know, I really didn't. What my actual answer, and this is, you got to be carefully and politically correct word this stuff. Politically correctly. I don't know if that's good grammar. Whilst guy. Where's the whilst guy? Okay. The way you kind of answer that is, what I answered was this. I said, well, I don't have direct hands-on work experience with Microsoft Access in my current job, but I have classroom experience with Microsoft Access, meaning I do have some experience. I know how it's designed and how it works, but I don't do it on a regular basis. I feel confident I could get my skills up to par very quickly. So I word it to let them know that I'm not afraid of it. I don't do it for a living. You know, I get that point across. I'm not going to sell myself being able to do something I can. I don't like to lie when I social engineer. I know that's kind of an oxymoron to some people, but I try to keep it honest. And I came back the following week. They wanted me to come back to basically take a test in at Microsoft SQL. So that's what I mean. I went home. I gave myself a crash course. I went through some tutorials. I just made up some scenarios. I used some of the default sample databases that it comes with and gave myself some assignments. Says, okay, see if you can do this. No problem. See if you can do that. Ah, no problem. Eventually figured out how to make replaceable parameters where it prompts users to put in the data that they want, make it user-friendly. I mean, it was actually pretty darn simple, and I probably learned infinitely more than they even expected me to know. So when I went back, not to toot my own horn, but long story short, I smoked the test that they gave me for the interview. So,
congratulations.
You know, the reason that I was faced with this is because they wanted that skill. I had to politely and, I guess, in a positive way, show that I absolutely could do it, what they wanted, and then I did it. And then I did it. You know, that's really all there is about it. I mean, don't come out and say, I can't do this, or I won't do that, or I don't like this. That's really not the angle to play. You have to use your social engineering skills in a situation like that without, you know, going overboard. So I don't know what you wanted to follow up, but by all means, go ahead.
Well, no. Okay. First, congratulations on doing well on that test.
Thank you.
That's a very good point. You should use these skills, right? Use those social engineering skills wherever you can, and you can use them. You can use them all day long to whoever you're talking to. You know, it's almost social training, literally.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So I used my social engineering skills a little bit to get what I wanted, essentially. I wanted to take a class. It said I needed prereqs or some network security class, whatever.
Right.
I just want to take it for fun. I think I could hang regardless of the prereqs. They said, no, you need prereqs. I can't register online or over the phone. So I call up and they say, well, you've got to come down and speak to the department head and get an override and blah, blah, blah. I said, in my head, this is not acceptable.
Right.
I said, oh, okay, sure. Could you transfer me to this person? And I schmooze them a little bit and get some more information. Okay, transfer me to this person. Schmooze them a little bit. Finally, I get to talk to whoever, some guy, department head, who can't do it. And I schmoozed him and got him to do it remotely over the phone in 5 minutes. I got that taken care of, got them prereqs wiped, and I registered for the class.
Yeah, see,
that was absolutely, literally, social engineering. So use your skills all the time. There's always opportunity for training, whether it be physical or mental.
Yeah, and there's actually a term for the, well, kind of like that. When you call up, say, tech support, you don't get the answer you want from the first operator. You call back again, and you try to get a different representative on the phone that may be able to do it for you or willing to do it for you. And, you know, I call it op-hopping, hopping from one operator to the other until you get one to answer what you want. And you bouncing from person to person until you get somebody who's either able or willing to get it done.
Yeah, you just, like, collect a little bit of information as you work your way up to the person who can do it. You just, okay, collect a little here. Okay, now I know about this, so I can move on to this person. Move up a little bit. It's absolutely.
Yeah, and don't be, and you know, the way when you say get information, ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions along the way.
You have to. It's absolute.
By the time you get to that final person, you'll know what they want, you know?
Oh, yeah. And so there you go.
I so totally, I actually so totally relate to that story, too, but
yeah, oh, it's,
we'll let it
it's
go.
So useful, dude. That totally got me through college. So
even simple things like checking out in the grocery store or returning something at Target or anything like that. Schmooze, social engineer, and just see if you can get some information. Even your waiters and stuff, just be nice and see what kind of information you can find out of them.
That's another thing. Being nice pays, dude.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I won't go onto a soapbox. Be nice in general, irregardless of hacking.
Yes, to again, quote Bland, do not be a penis.
Exactly. Is that really so hard?
Oh, and but before before we leave the personal stories here.
Okay, go ahead.
Not buy Princeton LCD monitors. They suck ass.
Hmm.
I've got one that just died and one that's a piece of crap. I've got a ViewSonic and I love it. Oh, it's so nice. So stay away from Princeton.
You know, and that's funny. We were talking about this off the air, but I remember Princeton being a good brand back in probably the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Maybe so, but I just got two lemons from
them. Yeah, they were always one of the, you know, one of the premier ones, and yeah, I've heard now bad things about them lately, so.
Now, you can't go wrong with ViewSonic. I mean, those three little birds.
The little birds on there. Of course, that makes it, man.
Big time. Okay.
All right. All right, well, that's all I had for the show and tell stuff.
Yeah, we got to roll, brother. There's like 20 minutes left, man.
I'll tell you what, why don't you roll then and take as much time as you want. Forget about how long we've got. Just talk about this as long as you want to, and anything else can be bumped if necessary. But
we can make this quick because I definitely want to get to your story. I think yours is probably has a
well, okay. Well, let's anyway.
Your story, your story, the community can do more with.
Well. Regardless, what? Take as much time as you want on this, and we'll put it up for download if nothing else, if it goes over the time frame.
Okay, all right.
And this one is, and let me just set it up for you, and then you can go with it. This was a story that you told me about off the air. You actually were so upset by this, or angered by this, I should say, that you called me one night and we talked about this, and you went after the fact and did a little bit of interview and found out some more information, and this is what you're going to, just to set it up so that you can go with it.
Right. I actually read about it on Slashdot. It was April 21st. The Deer Valley Unified School District office in Glendale was raided by the FBI on April 21st. That's my hood, right? The PHX, Phoenix. So it was very upsetting to me. And, of course, I have this gut reaction, and I need to be calm, breathe, and think a little bit more. But I was, you know, quite angry. Why would the FBI, you know, to me, it was just the freaking muscle of the double A's raiding a school, for crying out loud. People who are trying to educate our youth, all because of a couple of downloaded songs.
I'm sorry, what level school was this? Was this high school?
Deer Valley Unified School District. That's K-12. They're actually in Phoenix, but they have an office in Glendale, and that's what was raided, their district office. And again, on the 21st, Arizona Central, which is run by, you know, the Arizona Republic, they, of course, carried the story, and they talked about the federal agents who came in and basically shut down their internet access for a time. And
well, for those who don't know, the reported story was what? That the FBI raided it looking for pirated songs. Is that what it
was? No, they raided the school along with, you know, many other, as we found out a day later from Ashcroft, for intellectual property violations, right? For copyright infringement, lots and lots of piracy.
Okay.
Right? A national crackdown, this is a quote, a national crackdown on pirated music, CDs, and movies. So they went through all their stuff. The story, it gives some good information, but I wanted more. I wanted to know more about what happened. The next day, and you heard about this on last week's Off the Hook, the Department of Justice put out a press release regarding Operation Fastlink, right, the largest global enforcement action ever undertaken against online piracy. Now, no matter what you think, and actually I'll save this to the end, I'll talk about what I learned first. What happened? Let's see. Over 120 searches in 27 states and 10 foreign countries, including Belgium, Denmark, France, Germany, Hungary, Israel, Netherlands, Singapore, Sweden, as well as the UK and Northern Ireland. 100 individuals have been identified for investigation, international piracy, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes on to say seizure of more than 200 computers, including 30 computer servers that function as storage and distribution hubs, one here in the U.S., containing 65,000 separate pirated titles. So that's what happened, right? About $50 million in works that were seized. So that's what happened. Okay, including this school district. So if you go to their site, which is dvusd.org, they have a letter to the parents, and I'll read this. Dear parents, on Wednesday morning, the FBI served a search warrant on the Deer Valley Unified School District's Administrative Services Center on 51st Avenue. Because the warrant was judicially sealed, We do not know for certain the nature or target of the investigation. However, we believe this search was part of Operation Fastlink, a large-scale undercover investigation focused on the theft of intellectual property such as music, software, and movies. The district and its staff members are fully cooperating with federal authorities. All internet services were expected to return to full operation on Thursday. According to U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, Operation Fastlink was the most far-reaching and aggressive enforcement action ever taken against illegal intellectual property piracy over the internet. And then they talk about what I just read. We will continue to assist federal authorities with this investigation of intellectual property theft and software piracy. As we learn more information about Operation Fastlink or the issues involving illegal file sharing, we will communicate that to our community. Thank you for your continued support. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact our public information office at 623-445-5013. So, that's what I did. I went...
wait a minute. Before you, one little thing. I don't like judicially sealed. That is so...
Well,
basically, they're coming in, and they're not even going to tell you what you did wrong. Oh, we're searching everything that you've got, but we're not telling you why?
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not going to play one on VinRev, but I don't know. I don't think that that's all that uncommon. I don't think they want to tip off... I don't think they want to tip their hand, if I'm correct.
But when you show up on the premises, you're telling somebody... We're taking over your school, we're searching everything here, and we don't have to tell you why?
Right. We don't have to tell you the target, we don't have to tell you specifically what we're looking for. That is correct, and I don't think that's uncommon.
That's scary.
I don't think that's like a new, you know, Patriot Act kind of thing.
No, that's just scary, though.
Well, absolutely it's scary. So wipe your hard drives, man. Come on.
Yeah.
So I called. I wanted to know, you know, you don't get much out of the news. Right, you don't get anything out of this memo from the DOJ. So I wanted to know more. So Juan of Binary Revolution magazine called up the school, and I finally got to talk to a gentleman by the name of Timothy Tate. He said I could use his name, and no problem. He's an information officer with the Deer Valley Unified School District. I talked to him on April 30th, about 11 a.m., and I asked him a few questions. Of course, originally I thought, hey, you know, kids, of course kids are going to download music, they're going to check out movies, who cares, right? You don't need to go interrupt their school day, right? Interrupt their education to do that. That's just silly. You know, go after the people pressing CDs, for crying out loud. But as I learned, that is not the case. So again, this is me talking to Tim Tate. I told him who I was, who I was from. I did not record it, and I told him that. I told him I was taking notes. First, I asked, why specifically did the FBI raid your district office? He told me that he did not know for sure, but he was pretty sure that it did not involve students. Okay, so right there, first thing, it wasn't kids just downloading a song here or there or a CD or a movie. That told me that somebody was using their fat pipe and their hardware to probably host a larger, you know, distribution point.
Right, you're probably right.
Whether it be remotely or somebody from within, usually probably an insider, honestly, because that's, as you've heard me say many times, insider is the biggest threat. That's probably what happened. They've got authorized access. So from that, I think we can safely infer that's what happened. Next, I asked, how did it affect day-to-day operations? He said there were a few hiccups. It occurred during state-required testing, so it didn't affect anybody's studies. No one was specifically, you know, no students had to specifically be online at that time. So it didn't really affect the students at all. I'll talk about that at the end as well. I asked what were the students' reactions, and he said they were a little confused at first. After they found out what went on, they were definitely surprised. They were surprised that this was happening at their school, or at least their school's district office. Tim described the scene. He told me what happened. He said a dozen armed agents, of course, with black vests, FBI jackets. He said they were not, this is a quote, they were not confrontational.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, he said they worked with them very well. He said, I remember he said show of force, and I was like, whoa, 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 you know. I'm thinking, you know, battering ram, guns drawn, and that's not what he meant. He just meant there were, again, a dozen agents, black jackets, of course, armed. it gets better, actually. It sheds a little positive light on him, even though...
Right.
Well, anyways. I asked then, what did they take, and what state of operations, what were your state of operations? You know, what were they left in when they left? He said that he can't discuss specifically what was taken, but that they did collect evidence. So I'm assuming either they mirrored hard drives, took hard drives, took computers. I'm not sure. He couldn't say. He did tell me, though, that they were not left in a state of disarray, that the FBI technicians helped them get online before they left. So they took the time. He said they were very nice. They made sure that they had everything up and running and working properly before they left.
Hmm.
Again, positive.
Right.
These are Tim's words here. He said, I'm sorry, this is not a quote, but this is what Tim was thinking. This is what we got from our conversation. This was just Tim talking. We didn't fully realize the impact of what was happening until the next day, until Ashcroft's announcement. And apparently, and this is what he told me, because I actually didn't hear, I guess he spoke on TV. I don't know. I don't watch TV. He said that apparently Ashcroft specifically mentioned education, that this was happening at educational institutions. We then talked about Phoenix, of course, in the hood there, in our hood. So I stated at the end, I stated that I would not speculate on the AA's influence on the DOJ's actions. And he like nodded his head over the phone. He's like, yeah, you know. So I've got a few personal thoughts of what I got out of that interview. First of all, I think he was concerned. I think probably everyone was concerned about the students because he knew their reactions. He knew exactly what they were doing, that time that it happened. I'm almost positive that he's representative of that school district and that they definitely have the students in mind first. So next, again, I think from what I gathered that it's got to be some IT guy, right? Or if it's not remote, it's more than likely an insider using their facilities and their pipe to, to spew his rip of Passion of the Christ, you know. So,
is that a joke example, or is that truly what Passion of the Christ?
Okay, actually.
Up? Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
I think that's. I'm not going to talk about what I think about religion, but whatever. and then finally, I'm not going to talk about the connection to organized crime. I don't think this has any connection to organized crime. The next thing you know, they're going to start saying that all this piracy and this Operation Fastlink is cracking down on, you know, where sites that were supporting terrorism. That's the next step. There's only one more step to that, you know, to, oh, we got to get these people because they're organized crime. Next, there's one more step, and that's terrorism. They know that's just silly because they're just strong arms of the NPA and the RIA to begin with. So, again, much like Al-Qaeda, they plan, they wait, and then they strike. They strike in cells, distributed cells, at the same time, all over the world. And they get you. They get your evilware sites. So, same kind of tactics. You just bide your time, right? And then get your coordinated effort, your coordinated strike on multiple targets, just like Al-Qaeda. So that's what they did. And I hope they got all the evilwares people. Great, way to go. I don't know. By the way, that was a personal view. I just thought I would draw that slight analogy because it was, I thought, very accurate.
Well,
that's what happened. So, if I may close, it was not what I was at first really angered about in that they were raiding this place. Because, I mean, we've seen it before. The people go out and sue, you know, hundreds of college students, right? A grandma, a kid, because they share a few songs.
Yeah.
I didn't think this was, you know, hey, I think this is just the next, you know, logical step, right? This is logical progression. They'll use the FBI to go and raid little bigger sites, you know, lots of students sharing stuff at one school. You get the whole school at once and run them up. No, it wasn't. Somebody running a ware site at a school. Whatever.
Well,
you know, I think the MPAA or the RIA, they've got people searching stuff. They found that site, right? They've got moles. They found that site. They told the FBI, and the FBI went and busted it. That's what happened.
Right.
So, and if you think that's right, whatever, I don't.
Well, I don't, if I may, I didn't want to interrupt or stop you if you were still going, but I still don't like, I mean, Granted, they had some positive things in here, like you said, the way they went about things, the way they kept their connectivity up and going and everything. There's some positivity there. But I'm not sure about when he mentioned, actually, that, what did he say? There were a few hiccups. It was during state-required testing, so it didn't affect study. Well, I don't know. I just happen to disagree with that because I'm sorry that even if they came in, there were no guns drawn. I understand that. They were professional. They were non-confrontational. I understand all that. But 12 FBI agents armed with jackets and the sunglasses and the earpieces and the whole thing is an intimidating sight regardless.
No, that was at a district office. That was a district office in Glendale. The Deer Valley Unified School District is in Phoenix. All the schools and all the kids are in Phoenix. This was at a district office where
there were no children or no students. I shouldn't say children. There was no students, whatever age.
No.
That witnessed any of this.
School.
Okay.
So no, and I thought that as well, but no, that's not the case.
Yeah, I'm thinking if it's in any place where I was going, and I'm glad you corrected me on that. That it's not, because that would be scary. That if any of these students would have seen or witnessed that, or word would have got out, you know. Every kid in the school, every person would have been scared to death about what are they here for? Are they here for me? You know? So I'm glad that is not the case.
Yeah. The bottom line here is that we're using government resources, right?
12 people to do this, huh?
I don't know the exact numbers, but regardless, we're using government resources to crack down on this stuff. That's just, I thought there was a war on terrorism, which is absolutely idiotic, by the way. But you know, they're basically the strong arm of the AA's. It's not right.
Apparently, there's also a war on intellectual property.
Apparently so. I mean, this is just absurd. Yeah. I mean, and are we gonna stand by and let this happen? We've got to do things like this. Use your social engineering skills and learn more and see what happened. Find out what happened.
Well,
we've got to do this because
I tell you what, I'll play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
A little bit, maybe. I don't know how much of this I'm believing, but I'll pretend. Let's say they're running a WARE site. Are you somehow saying that's okay?
No, it's not okay. I mean, but in the big scheme of things, in what's going on and the number of people that are dying, Iraqis and Americans, is this really that important? Apparently it is, because there's big money paying off these.
Well, there's the key. Go ahead with that.
Whether you think I'm a crackpot or not, this is what happened. I think this is what happened, and I will qualify that with that statement. I think this is what happens, and it's fairly obvious. I'm sure most will agree that this is basically the MPAA and the RIA influencing, right, government officials to use their resources to crack down on the intellectual, you know, property theft. That's what it is. Bottom line. And this just proves it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I can't think of anything positive to.
All the things going on in the world right now, and they're cracking down. Multinational, hundreds of people, billions of dollars.
It provides.
Man, way to go!
It provides jobs? I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
It's silly. It's absolutely ludicrous what they're doing.
Well, overreaction.
My part are theirs.
Hmm?
And my part are theirs.
On theirs. Oh, absolutely on theirs.
Yeah.
No, not yours at all. If it was on yours, I think I would have said something a long time ago and been able to. I'm trying to be devil's advocate, and it's hard, and that's not usually hard for me.
Yeah. Wish Rax was here. He'd probably be good at that.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, he would. That would be a great Rax.
Because he's freaking smart, that's why.
Well, yeah, of course.
No, I'm just some left-wing nut. Product of freaking left-wing radio.
I guess that makes me a right-wing nut, so maybe we go pretty good together, huh? Oh.
So that's the story. Again, the bottom line, it was not students. Somebody was running a site using their resources, whether it be remotely or not, and the Operation Fastlink and the DOJ are just, you know, are just the hired muscle of the double.
Yeah, well, you know, because the double A's, remember, they had their roving street teams where they were going out trying to claim that they were, you know, agents. They were going out there trying to police and threatening people.
Right.
Remember those stories where they were out there threatening people to shut them down, acting as though they were somehow law enforcement or something. They had no rights to do that kind of stuff. So now they just pay the people that can do that for them. It's all about the money.
They somehow convinced you know, Orrin Hatch or whoever, you know, somebody to spend lots of money to give the FBI the okay to go crack down on all these wear sites.
Money.
Yeah, it's...
Not somehow.
There's
money.
A lot more important things. There's so many more...
Money.
You know, worthwhile things to spend our resources on. What happened to this war on terrorism?
Money.
Bastards. Yeah, money.
Money.
Yep.
All right. Anyway.
So, sorry it took so much time there. It should have been quicker, got to talk about your story.
Yeah, well, please pass on my thanks to Juan Juarez from Binary Revolution Magazine for the interview.
Anytime.
Tell him I said thank you. That was good stuff. And that is actually relating back to our little social engineering discussion earlier. There's a good application. Don't be afraid to call and ask questions.
Do it.
You get answers. Listen to that. You get answers. You get to hear, you know.
By the way, I wanted to record it, but my sound card sucks ass. that's why, yeah, anyways.
You know, it's funny that when we had the episode a couple times when we talked about how to make your own radio show, all that stuff.
Yeah.
We explained. I bought a nice expensive sound card.
Right.
It sucked.
It does.
It was really bad. I bought a $50 USB omnidirectional super conferencing microphone. It sucked.
Yeah.
It was garbage.
I've been finding that out.
I'm back to the, you know, I've been doing the show and everything on a cheap knockoff, what was it, Mad Dog or something like that,
yeah,
sound card with a little $10 LabTech mic.
And it rocks.
Yeah. It absolutely is. It's stable. It's stable.
I have to go get me one of the Mad Dogs.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd still go all that far. It gets the job done, but it's not top of the line. Anyway.
Dude, let's talk about your story.
Well, this is...
Talked about.
And you know what? Let me also... We're into the show here, and I know people like tech, and I know these two stories are not directly... We're not talking about bits and bytes. We're not talking about all these detailed stuff. But sometimes these are so important, and they relate so much to the tech community and the hacking community,
yeah,
that they need to be said.
This absolutely has to do with technology.
Yeah, and this is something that you absolutely should know about. Maybe not that it's something technical that you're going to like or you're going to be able to sit down and practice, but I want you to stop what you're doing. If you're chatting in IRC, I hate to tell you to stop, but I want you to listen to this story because I want you to think about how dangerous and how scary this is to you as a hacker. And to preface it, to put this in your mind as I start to read some of it, it's a long story from the New York Times. I'm not going to read it. But I want to put into your mind, think about how the media labels us. Think about what hackers are associated with and how people think of hackers. And we're not going to go on a soapbox, but we all know how hackers are viewed. We know what we get associated with. They throw us around with words like terrorists and criminals and stuff like that. Keep that in mind as you hear the story and apply how this could turn into something very, very bad. This particular story, actually, is the topic is computer student on trial for aid to Muslim websites. This is by Timothy Egan. Again, it's out of the New York Times, April 27, 2004. If you want to go look up the full text, because it is too long, I'm not going to read all of it. However, I'll read some of the very, very important parts, and I want you to listen very closely. Boise, Idaho, April 23rd. Not long after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, a group of Muslim students led by a Saudi Arabian doctoral candidate held a candlelight vigil in the small college town of Moscow, Idaho, and condemned the attacks as an affront to Islam.
That means the attacks were smacking Islam in the face.
These people were against it. Yes, they were Islam, but they were saying, this is not what we represent, this is not what Islam is about. These were... I'm not going to put words in their mouth, but they did not agree with it.
Right.
And they went out, they even had a vigil, and they stood out and vocally said, this makes us look bad, this is not what we're about. Similar to what we do here sometimes about the hacker being thrown around. But anyway, I'm sorry. Today, that graduate student, and I totally apologize up front if I mispronounce some names here, but that graduate student, Sami Omar Al-Hussein, is on trial in a heavily guarded courtroom here, accused of plotting to aid and to maintain Islamic websites that promote jihad. Now again, this is the person who stood out and saying that this is not what it's about, that they were completely against it. Yet somehow they still feel that he... Well, I'll go on. As a webmaster to several Islamic organizations, Mr. Hussein helped to maintain internet sites with links to groups that praised suicide bombings in Chechnya and Israel. But he himself, I'm going to say this loudly with emphasis, but he himself does not hold these views, his lawyer said. His role was like that of a technical editor, they said, arguing that he could not be held criminally liable for what others wrote. Apparently, the government doesn't feel the same way because they are going forward with this.
Obviously.
Civil libertarians say the case poses a landmark test of what people can do or whom they can associate with in the age of terror alerts. It is one of the few times anyone has been prosecuted under language in the anti-terrorism law known as the USA Patriot Act, which makes it a crime to provide, quote, expert guidance or assistance, end quote, to groups deemed terrorist. Now, if you're not already pissing in your pants out of fear right now, I want you to keep in mind what I told you earlier. This person clearly stood up. He was on newspapers. He was on television, local news channels, filming their candlelight vigils, speaking out against this. But his website, this portal, this site that he maintained, and when I say maintained, from a technical standpoint, he was the webmaster, at least, of course, from what the lawyers say, and again, I don't know. I would love to get in touch with this person, and maybe I can, to find out exactly what's going on here. He had links to other sites that allegedly or supposedly were in line with his views, and probably, maybe, they were at some point in time. Is it a webmaster's responsibility? Think of the logic of this. How difficult would it be for a webmaster? Should a webmaster do this? You link to this site. You go out there on Monday, and the site has everything you agree with it. It promotes Islam. It's about your religion. It talks about peace and blah. So you link to that site. You have that on your list of links. Hell, even somebody could submit the link, and you don't even know about it. The link could be submitted there. You try to police your site as best you can. But suddenly, someone posts something on that other site, and again, they might not have authorized it. It may have been posted by a user, by some random person. All of a sudden, something a couple links away lands you in jail, prosecuted under the USA Patriot Act, which, again, listen to episodes that Rax talked about, how Patriot is an acronym and that it has nothing to do with patriotism. And we've talked several times on the show about the abuse and the potential abuse of this act. And my God, here it is in front of you.
Yep.
Now, again, go search for this and read the full length of this story, because I am not going to go into a lot of the details on it, because the point that I'm trying to get across, I think, is clear. We know what the media portrays hackers. We know how we get tied in with the word terrorist. I mean, let's face it, we do, right or wrong, and we come on and we fight it and we try to tell people, don't do that. We're not criminals. We're not. It used to say right on the punch on the front of stankdog.com, we are not terrorists, criminals, or thieves. We're not.
I said the prosecution team has resented him as a secret conspirator aiding the cause of terrorism through his computer skills.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Does that sound, you know? So now, suddenly, anybody that links to a site that they have deemed as terrorist in nature, which, gee, what could that be? Do you think the association with hackers with terrorists that comes out sometimes, could that be a point? Could that be someone who might be targeted with something like this in the future? Could this affect us? You're damn right it could.
Yes.
And you should be pissed scared right now hearing something like this, watching these people's rights be taken away. And this is a person who stood out, again, I'm going to repeat it, and condemned the actions. He did not agree with them. He said repeatedly over and over that he is absolutely not supportive of that. He does not believe in it.
Well,
we don't believe in it.
The candlelight vigil was obviously a front.
Oh, well, yeah, that must be what it was. That absolutely must be what it was. I mean...
If they have no other... If they've got nothing on him except him linking to terrorist sites, quote, terrorist sites, then it's pretty weak, and you're absolutely right. Unless they've got some secret case file with lots and lots of his akin for his error, then this is terrifying to us, to people who like technology, and it's terrifying to think what precedents might be set. Much like Operation Fastlink. That's why these are absolutely about technology, because it might affect what you can do with technology in the future. So
Yeah,
this guy is apparently, from what we are reading in the New York Times, and we know how, you know, reliable they are.
Yeah, that could be good or bad. Right. Yeah, here's another line later on in here that I thought was pretty interesting. It's, quote, "It's an illustration of how much power the government can bring against somebody," said John Dickinson, a retired professor of computer sciences who was Mr. Hussein's doctoral advisor at the University of Idaho. "It should scare anybody."
Okay,
and
oh, here. I didn't know this, and it should. "Any indictment the government charged that Mr. Hussein provided," here we go, I didn't see this, "provided computer advice and assistance, communications facilities, and financial instruments and services that assisted in the creation and maintenance of Internet websites and other Internet medium intended to recruit and raise funds to violent jihad, particularly in Palestine and Chechnya."
But he didn't. It was a separate site that he linked to. Whether he knew about it, well, okay. And you know what? Let's step back for a minute and let's debate this.
Well, see, no. Tell me. I don't quite understand this. Okay, it's not much more. From what I'm reading, it's not much more than putting up links to, you know, jihad sites already. So tell, what exactly did he do now?
Well, okay. What you just read was quote from the Patriot Act, I believe. Those were the words from the Patriot Act that they put on the. That's the government charge.
This is what they charged him with. This is what they charged him with.
And
this
when they put
charges against him,
right?
Provided, let's see, provided computer advice and assistance.
Check.
Communications facilities.
Check.
Server, I'm assuming, and financial instruments and services that assisted in the creation and maintenance of Internet websites and other. Okay, so basically, bro,
free
set
web
up a website and PayPal.
Or when they say, I don't know how that's worded, I think, what if he just gave them web space on his site?
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Hosted web service, free or otherwise.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's still unclear to me what he did.
Right. And I, you know...
And now it's...
Here's another point later on. The websites he maintained also posted views opposing jihad. I mean, how many times does he have to come out and say he's opposing it? How many different ways?
Right.
But something, you know, a link, two links, five links away. How many links away does something have to be? Because last time I checked, the whole internet, the interweb, as Decoder would say,
yeah,
the whole internet, the whole World Wide Web is links to links to links. Technically, somehow, we're linked to that site too.
Absolutely.
You know what? You know who else is? Google. Yahoo.
Oof.
You know what? The NewYorkTimes.com, even FBI.fucking.gov, pardon my language, but I'm pretty pissed about this, is linked to that. Does that mean they're aiding and abetting? Because, you know, packets pass through FBI.gov servers to get to this site. They aided someone connecting and linking to the site. You want to get technical, bitch? Let's get technical about this. I say that FBI.gov needs to be prosecuted on this because they technically, if you want to get to the anal letter of the law, provided access to this site as well, and access to terrorist-related sites providing that kind of stuff. I say they're just as guilty.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny
and
you say
want
that.
To get
I've got
technical.
A buddy who's in a criminal justice program, and he gets DOD and DOJ briefings, you know, PowerPoint Schnoozeville shit that talk all about suicide bombings, tell you how to do it, show you bombs, show you the people, show what they do, you know, ambushes, everything. All the time. What the hell? So bro's like set up PayPal, he like set up a shopping cart for, you know, for Islamic Jihad or something? I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's, you know what, this is just such a reach. And this, now I'll tie this back into what your story earlier. Earlier you mentioned to me that this was not something new, the way they had the, what was it, judicially sealed? That was not something new, that was not something that was, you know, this big thing that they've done recently under the terrorism or anything. Well, guess what, this is. This is the bad things that can happen from it. This is directly prosecution under the USA Patriot Act. So this is why people like the ACLU, the EFF, hackers across the world, privacy advocates across the world have been fighting and have been so animated against this and animate against this act and the loopholes and the way it can be abused. I mean, I don't know what more this guy could have done. He's come out on the website. He came out on television and condemned it. He's come out many times. He's spoken through his lawyers now, all completely saying that he's against it. Now, I mean, I'm not completely, you know, I'm not reading one story here and believing everything in it. It could be a front. I'll say that, but I don't. I disbelieve it right now. I find that unlikely. I mean, he could be lying his ass off to protect himself now that he's busted. But the fact that he did these actions, like having a candlelight vigil back then when it happened, and now here years later he's being prosecuted under the USA Patriot Act, that's kind of, you know, a lot of preparation for something that he didn't think or know would happen. I mean, it seems too coincidental to me.
Right.
So I try to be open-minded and try to say, okay, maybe, you know what, let's try to be open-minded and say they know more than we do. They have more information than we do. I really find it awfully coincidental, a lot of this information, a lot of the things that they're basing this whole suit on, this whole attack.
Yeah, it is. You know what, honestly, I think this guy was just active in communities that the federal government doesn't approve of. I think that's the bottom line, you know. It's all, and you know, you read, and I've read this. I'm reading this stuff again and again, and it's still just a mishmash. You know, he supports this group that, you know, just wants to spread Islam, and the government says that it's, you know, supporting violence against, you know, the heathens that we are. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think this is very important.
Well, and you know, here's a this.
If not angered, you know.
Yeah, this final paragraph of the article is, again, this will put it into some perspective. If you think we're exaggerating it, and you think, oh, yeah, well, this guy was Islam, and if you're racist or you think that everybody in this feels this way, or everybody, let me put this puts it into a little bit of perspective that everybody can associate with. This is a quote from somebody from the ACLU. It says, "We very much wanted to be involved in this case because it is by far the most radical prosecution we've ever seen. We've seen under the Patriot Act," said Ann Beeson, associate legal director of the National ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, of course. "You shouldn't be held liable for what somebody else said." I can't believe that has to be stated, first of all. I can't believe that sentence even had to be written, uttered, or spoken aloud. I can't believe, my God, that has to be said in this world. But, "You shouldn't be held liable for what somebody else said. Under this theory, you could charge the electrician who services the wrong client."
Right.
And that doesn't scare you as a listener. That doesn't scare you as a reader of these articles. That doesn't scare you as an American citizen. It should. It very much should. And that's just as an American citizen. Now, again, I mentioned earlier, keep in mind hackers, and I think everyone's seen it by now, but they think we're terrorists. We know we're not. I know I'm not. I know I'm not into terrorism. I know I'm not a thief. I know I'm not a criminal. And I'm coming out on this show and saying it right now. But they could pound down my door next week the same way. Oh, well, you know, you're running a site that promotes terrorism, and I have PayPal.
Right.
You can buy my magazine. I'm putting propaganda. Am I teaching terrorism or something with all this stuff? No.
You're speaking positively of this guy who set up PayPal for this Islamic charity. You're a terrorist hacker.
Yeah.
You? Yeah. Now, back up.
No, I want to keep scaring the people. Anybody that links, anybody that has our link box to binrev.com, you're guilty too. They're coming for you. And if you link to that person's site, they're coming for you too. And your friend who linked to your site from their blog, they're coming for you. And all the songs that we get from mp3.com and frontalot.com and all the musicians that are just putting out music are linked to our site. They're coming for you too.
Yeah, we should fear for our intellectual freedom. We should not be scared. Right?
Well, of course I'm exaggerating just to let people realize exactly how serious this is.
Right, and it's very important, and it absolutely has to do with technology.
And that's...
That's a good rant, by the way. You're...
I didn't... you know what? I didn't expect that.
I haven't heard one of those in a long time.
Because you know what? Back to the listeners, you know I try to keep this tech-oriented as much as we can, because that's what I like. But damn it, sometimes people need to hear these things. I know this is not tech. Well, last week we had the Google, which I thought was some good stuff. Earlier, actually, I had talked about Access a little bit. That could have been, you know, that was some good tech for this content. And we'll go back to it next week. But damn it, this is important. I hope you didn't fast forward through this rant thinking, oh, more political crap. I hope you listen to this. I hope you go out there. I'm going to go back. I don't have a link. I'll try to put it in the show notes when we get those up. Timothy Egan, E-G-A-N, from the New York Times Company. Computer student on trial for aid to Muslim websites. Search for that. I'm sure you'll get other information that happened in Boise, Idaho, April 23rd, the exact date. You know, go out there and read. This stuff happens, and I'm bringing it up here because, doggone it, it's important. And it is important to us as hackers. It's important to us as American citizens.
Can I close the loop here, Stank?
Yes, I am done with it, so you can have the final word.
Okay. Let's close the loop here. Let's complete the circle. Let's be real zen about this. What I discussed earlier, focus. Let's make sure we as a community are focused. Let's make sure we are educated about things like this. And let's make sure we can do positive things about that. And that means continuing to hack, continuing to create, and continuing to use technology in the ways that you see fit and others don't. So we must know about these things because it's absolutely about technology. It's absolutely about how we want to use it, right? The
right.
Crazy, wacky things we want to do with it, our zany antics.
Hey, the definition we had out of the book earlier that that the listener sent in.
So let's make sure we use things like this, and let's be active.
And share the story with people. Get the word out. Let people hear it.
I was going to say the F word.
Thank you.
Not the four-letter word, the five-letter word, fight. I was going to say fight things like this, but let's not say that because they probably wouldn't like that. Let's be active. Let's be proactive.
Let's educate ourselves, each other, and others.
Yes, thank you.
Positive. Positive positivity.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we're done. I think we're done.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Shout-outs. If I may, I'll go ahead and just shout-out to Decoder, Lucky225, Doug, Rigel5, Royal, everybody who's been on Default Radio, and there's been a lot of them, so I didn't leave anybody out intentionally, but there's been a lot of people. That's a show I listen to when I get to work Monday every day. I can't listen to it Friday nights usually because I'm out working or something else, so I listen to it Monday during work. Makes my day, makes me laugh, gives me something great to listen to, so shouts to all those guys from me.
Same here, man. I love Default Radio.
That's funny stuff.
It's so much fun. It's hilarious.
Decoder's my hero.
Yeah, and shouts to Kizzle for doing his show. I dig that. I dig that 10-minute format. That's kind of cool. I'm going to be pimping that on Old School Freak. And shouts to my dog, Stank. Shout to my dogs, Mute and Bland, and all the Phoenix crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy all the radio that's been coming out. The phone shows, right? Uber Lido. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Lot of fun.
Lots of good stuff. Hacksaw Radio, DTMF. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of it will stick around. We'll see.
Yeah, it will.
Reminder that 2600 meetings are coming up this Friday. Like I said, if you've never been, go check it out. You know what? Even if, and I don't know if I should say this, even if you don't go talk to people, just kind of walk past it and listen. Get an idea what it's like, what it's for. I bet you'll get pulled in to sit down if you just go give it a chance.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Just go sit and talk tech with a bunch of geeks, if nothing else, you know? Don't have to get into a bunch of presentations and projects and corny stuff. Just stop, talk, listen, you know, hang out.
Right. Hey, you know what? I got to do this too because I've been listening to it. I have to give shouts to Ram Radio and Sam and his show and Smokehouse. That's a good show. I've been listening to it and I do enjoy it.
Okay.
Seriously. So I miss Sean Kay's radio show a lot. That was my favorite shit in the whole world. His radio show, and it's gone. But Rant Speak is the closest thing to it. So I've been enjoying that. So
good.
Shouts to Ram Radio. And I've been listening to Industrial Station because you can only take so much of digitally imported. So I've been listening to the Industrial Station. That's some good shit. So.
Good. Glad to hear that. Email, feedback for any of the stuff we've talked about on the show, radio@benrev.com. Articles, if you want to submit articles for the magazine, send them to articles@benrev.com. The sooner we get enough good articles, the sooner the magazine will come out. Bottom line, period. And since you mentioned Kizzle, shouts to him because he recommended our closing music tonight, a group called Optimus Rhyme, and this is a track called Fuzzy Dice, a little nerdcore hip-hop for you. And Duel, thank you again for being on the show, for plugging in with us for a little while.
Thank you.
I'm sweating from ranting.
Awesome.
Get me so hyped up during the show, doggone it.
Yeah, I missed that. That's one of my favorite pieces of radio as well, your rants.
Well,
classic.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my blood pressure down, so... You're trying to kill me. You're trying to get my blood pressure up, man. All right, but I guess that's going to do it, unless you had anything else. I guess we'll close it out. What do you think?
Sounds good.
See everybody next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
3, 4.
Alright, let's see here. Fuzzy dice, check. Whacker Kong bobblehead doll, check. Diesel incense, check. Cool. Look at me, I'm a taxi cab driver. Go down the street, scope potential riders. Hey girl, where you going? What's up, dude? I'll take you there if you got that look.
Yo, you checking me? I'm just a taxi cab driver. I charge a fee, it's credits for saliva. Yo, bot, just keep your grill off the leather. We'll go through two time zones here together.
I got my boss on my back for a little hit and run. I light up meteorites for fun. I work through the night, yo, I never see the sun. Channeling dead thoughts, stick to my solar paneling for fun. For fuckers, now I gotta refuel more frequently. Play my round about a week in advance. There's no chance for a bot like me. Never should have been dead off, but think it's mentally nine. I'm missing gears like you wouldn't believe. Cheated on my cabin exam for fake pedigree. Now here's a band that I think I should take. These human females, man, they always tip great. Hop on in, what's happening? Where you headed, ladies? They pointed straight up, I hit the helium pedal. I don't mean to meddle, girls, but this neighborhood is grimy. What you doing here with your nice and shiny boots? I heard a boom, and I turned to look behind me. These earth girls melted down to molten magma dudes. Those fuckers always leaving lava on my floor mats as they morph from one life form to another. Then I'ma get the last laugh. I got a door that's electric. I'll shock him down the floor. Now that I'm up, I'ma stop by the depot. My boss gets around 2 and 3, so I think I'm safe. I hit the keypad 878.
Secret passcode denied.
Oh great, man, that's all I need. Did not forget my cabbie fee. I grab me 3 batteries, they be out for free. Then I hit the speed. I got a call. The Imperial Ball got some drunk bots at the Queen's Ball. Those upper class bots are stacked. They tip me 20 credits and not even look back. So I'm gone, but right, this life might prove beneficial. Some FaceTime with the realm of official.
I'm a taxi cab driver. Go down the street, scope potential riders. Hey girl, where you going? What's up, dude? I'll take you there if you got that room.
Yo, you checking me? I'm just a taxi cab driver. I charge a fee, it's credit for saliva. Hey, bot, just keep your grill off the leather. We'll go through two time zones here together.
I'm pushing my grandma key across 520. Seattle fares ain't shit. Eastsiders have plenty to spare. Swear away with that bastard dispatcher. I'm still making more than I did with that rap shit. I'm well known by the cops in this section. My expired tabs give them all an erection. The intersection is packed with other caddies collecting the cheese, y'all exploiting the Japanese. I got clearance to land on Earth Beta because my fake data comes from the mess makers. I've got a cab to rent. Any takers? If not, I'll just sit right back and read the paper. Bootleggers and pimps, black as the market. Around the block, kids circling my cockpit. I got a Glock cocked inside my pocket. Don't matter how cocky you are, you can't stop it. Picked up a couple at a bar up on 35th. I'll be back, folks, unless you got a cigarette. Went inside, grabbed a carton of Carlton's. Came back out, holy shit, my fucking car's gone. Now you can skip on a tip, I'll be alright, Joe. And maybe ride without paying, hey, I'll let it go. But if you're jacking my ride, I'm playing hero. Reanimate Kubrick, I feel like De Niro. Gun toting, smoking, wide open my eyes. Penetrate the disguise of freeloading as criminals. Now under the impression I'ma let him go. I ain't Eastwood, but this shit is unforgivable. Not a word to say, I took all of the clothes away. Stashed the heat in the ashtray, split up to Broadway.